Come to Mark chapter 2. Verse 23. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" But he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him? And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" Let's pray. Lord, we know that the Sabbath was made for man, and yet how many this morning are burdened by the thought of even coming to church or worshiping God or reading the Bible or taking a day to focus upon you. Lord, how odious it is, how hard, how unnecessary it seems to do what is a privilege given to us by God. And so, Lord, as we examine this and understand it as it is supposed to be, Lord, may we rejoice today in this day, the Lord's day, and be not as the Pharisees who were religious but dead. But Lord, may we be alive in truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Consider the following situation. Your mom lays down a law for you in childhood that you will take a bath or a shower every day. That's the law. We had that law. You take a bath every day. It's a good law for yourself and a good law for others because you'll have good hygiene and people can stand being around you more, just on the hygiene part. And when you become an adult, you are thinking one day, you know, I want to honor my mom, even in my adulthood, so I'm going to not just keep taking a shower or a bath every day. I'm going to take 5 showers or a bath every day. And so that's what you decide to do to honor your mom. Your mom says take a bath every day to be clean. Now you're saying 5 a day. When you go to work for someone, you have to tell them, you know, I'm a 5 bath a day person. So I'm going to need time off through the day to go somewhere and take a bath. You're going to have to present that to your employer up front. And many other things. And so this is what you do. And you're very faithful at it. You work around all the drawbacks. And you finally one day come to realize something that's very important for you to realize. And that is that you are cleaner than everybody else around you. Nobody else takes 5 baths a day, but you do. And there's no way they can be as clean as you are. There's no way they can care as much about hygiene as you do. And so you realize that, and you think about that, and you come to the realization that you are cleaner than everybody. And then the other realization comes, that everybody else is dirtier than you. Not only are you just, you know, spotless clean and dedicated to your mom's command, but these other people, they don't care about my mom. They despise my mom. They're not taking the baths my mom said I should be taking. And so you come to despise other people. You come to think of people as less holy, less clean, less committed, not honoring to your mom the way you are. And when you get this way, where you despise others, where you're proud of how clean you are, is mom happy? Is mom looking at her son and say, "Oh, my son has just pleased me so much, this hateful, proud, despicable man"? What the son has done is taken a law and twisted it from its original design and made it odious. There's a belief among self-righteous people that the more you do of the same thing, the better you are. The more prayers you make, the more words in your prayers, the more rituals you do, the more money you give, all of these things, the more fasting you do, all of that makes you more honoring to your mom or to God. And a person switches from favor by obedience to favor by ritual. And the heart goes away from it. And you've changed mom's law and elevate it to a universal authority so that it's not just her law anymore and it's not the law she made anymore, but you take it and you require every person to do it. Muslims pray, I think, 5 times a day facing Mecca. That probably started as a prayer focusing on Mecca in the Islamic religion, and now it's 5, and why not 55 someday? It's just made up by men. And it's considered to be, if you pray more to a false god, then you are actually more holy. And so they might look at us and say, "Well, how many times a day do you pray facing, you know, some place?" Oh, well. You see, it seems to be righteous, but the result is bondage and hatefulness rather than the basic benefit of hygiene. And you've in fact become dirtier and not cleaner because your spirit has been infected by twisting the commands of your mom and, in religious matters, the commands of God. And that's what the rabbis did. That's what rabbinical tradition did with the Sabbath law. Something good turned to something bad. One thing that the Bible teaches very plainly is that sinners have not only the ability, but the propensity to turn what is good into something bad. Church, good, can be turned to something bad. The Bible, good, can be twisted as the cults twist it and make it something bad. Not that the Bible is bad, but the way it's perceived and taken. Anything, a family, a marriage, a job is something good, an education, and then can be turned into something bad. How many Southern Baptist young men start an education to study the Bible, to study about God? When they get to the other end of their education, they are worse than they were when they started. Something good turned to something bad. And the self-righteous maintained that all that was required for them to be holy was to look holy on the outside. If you look holy on the outside, you want to be a doctor, get a white coat, get a stethoscope, and you can be a doctor. And it is an external focus that the self-righteous, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, these religious elite, the leaders in the Judaism, they outwardly were holy. They did not associate with sinners. They didn't want to be near a tax collector. They stayed away. They fasted more than anybody else and made sure everybody knew about it. And they kept the Sabbath the way they decided to keep it. And then they judged everyone else on the basis of what they had decided. It's a flashpoint. If you look in the Gospels, Mark, Matthew have a few of them. Luke seems to have the most. John has them. Where Jesus does things on the Sabbath. That is the flashpoint. And it so offended them that we have these conflicts such as here in chapter 2 of Mark. And also the beginning of chapter 3 in Mark. Now that danger exists for every one of us, and we need to beware, not that we're preaching to the Pharisees, but that God speaks to us through His Word. There's plenty of blindness among Southern Baptists as to the state of their salvation. They think if they come to church, they're saved. There's a lot of formality and ritual. And many believe that if they do good work, that's their basis for which God is going to receive them. And so we can learn a lot from this passage. And we see that it is about the Sabbath. Verse 23. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Here is the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath day. Exodus 20, verse 8 says this: Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That is the Sabbath. It means rest, cessation of labor. It was set aside for rest because the Lord rested on the seventh day from creation. The Lord was not tired and rested. He ceased to create. He created for 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Sabbath day was made. The focus of the Sabbath day then is not the seventh day, it's the Lord. We rest because of the Lord. And so the Lord rested, we're to rest. We have a 7 day week. There's nothing in nature that defines a 7 day week. If you wanted things to be neater, 365 days, if my math is right, you go 73 weeks of 5 days. That takes out the whole weekend, every week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then go start over again on Monday. Or you could make it start on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you get, well, you see, if you were to divide up 365 and a quarter days, 365 is 73 times 5, you could be, that would neatly fall into place. But no, there's a 6 day, and the seventh day is a day of rest. And so the focus is upon the Lord. In the new covenant, which we are under, the first day of the week, the Lord's day, became, in a sense, the Christian Sabbath. It's not exactly accurate to call it that, but that's pretty much what it is. The day itself's not the issue. Paul says that as far as regular days go, It's up to each individual. Somebody may want to take Tuesday and spend a special time with the Lord. Someone might do Thursday. That's not to say that they don't meet together with us on the Lord's Day, but people can decide about those things. But the day is not the issue. The moral aspect of the command remains. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists in such groups as that, They try to make the day the thing. It's got to be Saturday, got to be Saturday. And forget the Lord's Day and all of that. And then they say the Roman Catholic Church changed the day. And you got to get all that. The disciples, the apostles, met on the Lord's Day. And maintained by doing that, this principle of one day in seven for the Lord, which comes from the Ten Commandments. The day is not the commandment. The Lord is the focus of the commandment. The first four commandments are about the Lord. Not the first three about the Lord, the fourth one about the day, and the next six about the people. The Lord is the focus. And so we're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Lord's day as we come together. But that moral aspect of the Sabbath is carried on in the new covenant, just as it was in the old. It's a focus upon the Lord. It's the Lord's day. The Lord's resurrection is the remembrance. And so that is what the Sabbath is. That is the law of the Sabbath. Now, in verse 23 and verse 24, there's the accusation by the Pharisees that the disciples of Jesus broke the Sabbath. Here's what they did. They were going through the grain fields. Now, this is not uncommon. Roads being, primary arteries, basically, there weren't a lot of roads necessarily. You did a lot of walking through agricultural areas, paths, through grain fields. That's just the way people traveled. And if you look at Deuteronomy 23, this was put in the law. The Pharisees were all about the law. Deuteronomy 23, verse 24. Says this, when you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure, but you shall not put any in your container. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Now, that makes perfect sense. What it's saying is, someone comes through your field hungry, they have the right to take some from your field. Today, when that happens, we call that citizen's arrest. But this was allowed by the law. As long as you didn't put it in a container, it was just as you go, a la carte. It's just get it as you go because you're hungry. If your neighbor looks out and there you are with a bushel basket, picking it and putting it in there and taking it home, that's against the law. So the Pharisees saw that the disciples were hungry. They took the grain and they did whatever the Bible says. They rubbed it with their hands. They made it and ready and they ate it. That was the work they did. And God was fine with it because he says that's fine to do. Nothing wrong with that. And everybody eats on the Sabbath day. And people get up on the Sabbath day. And people go water their animals on the Sabbath day. Jesus points all these things out when they object at various times in the Gospels. So these men were hungry. They ate. The Pharisees were always watching to find fault. To be a Pharisee, to them, was the greatest thing. To be a Pharisee. To be up there, respected, the leader in knowledge, saying all the right things, looking holy, being greeted in the marketplace. They loved all that. They had to be the most miserable people on earth. And they claimed to know God and to be righteous. And they had to be the most miserable people. Because here they are, Jesus and disciples are going through a field. And the Pharisees are there watching to see if they mess up in some way against their tradition. And they saw them. The Pharisees did what the illustration I gave you at the opening of this sermon, the man did with his mom. They took the Sabbath command and they added to it. It's like this. We're told don't eat too much. Don't eat too much. Let's say that's the law. Don't eat too much. Well, the Pharisees come along and they say, well, in order not to eat too much, let's limit the amount of food that every house can store on the premises. It's not like the government now, doesn't it? Let's stop the ability to build cabinets that are bigger than like 1 yard, 1 foot by 1 foot. Something like that. And the refrigerator has to be like 6 inches tall. That's as high as it can go. And then later on, they decide that every person has to have their mouth wired shut 3 days a week. You see, it just keeps going. Because once you leave the spirit of the law, and once you start serving the law, then you lose it. And they started serving the Sabbath command and changed it and added to it, and it became, in their eyes, equal to God's law. People do this all the time with personal preferences. A person has a personal preference, and it's important to them, and it makes sense to them, and they think after a while everybody should do it. Drink 7 glasses of water a day. Everybody should do that, and then they're going to Congress to try to make a law to get us to drink 7 glasses of water a day. You see, these are the odious people you just hate to see. Earth Day. On Earth Day, we're to turn our lights off in honor of Earth, that we're just ruining the Earth by using too much energy. I try, if I ever remember, and Earth Day is talked about, I try to have more lights on Earth Day than any other day of the year. Because it just rubs me the wrong way that a person has made up this whole thing about global warming and climate change, and then they're giving us commands what light bulbs we're going to use, how long we can keep our lights on. And it's just odious. This is the way the Pharisees were. And so when they saw the disciples working, here's the work they did. They plucked the grains and put it in their mouth after, you know, oh, why do your disciples? Why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Not lawful to who? Not to God. God didn't say anything about not eating on the Sabbath. It's not lawful because of their law. And so they find fault. This is what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were busybodies. They were always poking into somebody else's business because they were always constantly on watch like vultures to see if somebody messed up on their law, because they were so proud of their position and their law that they always watched people to see whether they would violate it. And so they said, you know, you've done wrong on their own basis, not on God's basis. And so they were full of disdain, and you can just smell the stench of their self-righteousness and their pride as they say in front of the Son of God, why are they doing what's not lawful? When the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who made that law and understands perfectly well what it's about. Be like us, like you know, David having surgery this coming Tuesday, and some family member wanting to be in the operating room to advise the surgeon how to do this. I doubt, David, there's too many people in your family you'd want to advise the surgeon. You probably want the surgeon to do what he knows to do. And you know, the Pharisees were saying that Jesus was allowing sin. And this is how they were. And Jesus hears that and he corrects them. Verse 25. He first corrects them with the Bible lesson. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? That's from 1 Samuel 21. The Pharisees, this is kind of a little bit of a, I think, rebuke by Jesus. The Pharisees were the ones who were supposed to know the Word of God more than anybody else, and they claimed to know it more than anybody else. And so Jesus says, well, have you not read this? Meaning they should have known this without being told. What David did when he was in need and hunger, when he was running, you know, from Saul, and he went and was able to eat showbread, which was only legal for the priest to eat, Jesus explains in verse 26. But it was proper because the men were hungry. The Pharisees should have known that. But they'd gotten so far away from Scripture, they didn't even know that. They didn't know what the Bible said. The Roman Catholics did this. The Roman Catholics started with a great deal of Scripture. And then they resorted to human wisdom. And they made up things, and they added things. They added purgatory, and they added sacraments, and they added all these cardinals and all these other teachings that are not biblical. And then they don't even know the law anymore. They don't know the Bible anymore. They tried to limit the Bible in the Middle Ages. I doubt it's any different today. The Pharisees were weak on the Scriptures. That is the biggest problem a person has, is not know the Scriptures. And there are so many who do not. We think it wise in our day, the wisdom of men think it's fine to kill babies in the womb. We've killed millions of babies in the womb, millions and millions, and continue to do it. That's human wisdom. And religious human wisdom is just that people make things up. So they condemn the disciples. And if they had known the Bible, that they would have been saved from that. Look at Matthew 12. It gives us a little bit more on this. Matthew 12, verse 7. Jesus says to them in this is a more fuller thing of what he said in Matthew. Verse 7, Matthew 12. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. He's speaking of this same issue, this same event. If you had known the Scriptures, you would not have been foolish and condemned those who were innocent. The Pharisees were big on making people condemned who were righteous and making people think they were righteous when they were condemned. And so he corrects them by the Scriptures. That is the absolute standard on which we operate. When David was allowed to do this on the very same principle, the very same thing in principle, then they should have known that. But then he corrects them also in verse 27 on a proper interpretation of the Sabbath. This is, Jesus could say in a few words something so profound. And here's what he says about the Sabbath. Verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the benefit of man. The Sabbath serves men. Wouldn't you expect a person who gloried in the Sabbath to understand what its main purpose was? They didn't. They had turned it. Jesus says that the Sabbath was made for men. We saw in Exodus 20, it's for rest. It's to protect them from others who would abuse them. I'm on the way this morning. We go through the gardens. And DPU's out there cutting things along the road, brush and stuff. And I'm saying, you know, you would never used to see that. People just take a day and it's just another day. And so, you know, in Israel, if the guy who made you work in his field said, listen, we need to get this crop in and we're going to go 7 days a week until it's done, the Sabbath law protected a person from that. Because they were to be mindful of the need for rest. But the main thing was, it kept them focused upon the Lord and not on being worldly minded. People get caught up in the world very easily. Love not the world. And then we have a society that considers every day as a day of the world, and none of the days as a day of the Lord. And so people turn their hearts and their minds away from the Lord. And the Sabbath was to keep a person's mind focused upon the Lord, because the seventh day the Lord rested. And so on the seventh day we rest. And the principle was of one in seven was maintained, and it kept the Sabbath as a benefit to men. But the rabbinical creation, the Pharisaical creation, turn the Sabbath into something to be served. You can't do this on the Sabbath. You can't do that on the Sabbath. And they kept putting rings and rings and rings around it so that you just were in bondage to it. You couldn't breathe on the Sabbath. You couldn't feed yourself on the Sabbath. You couldn't walk more than a few thousand feet or so from, I think, 2,000 feet from your house on the Sabbath. And they kept adding and adding and adding, and it was such a burden upon the people. And Jesus said, you know, the Sabbath is a delight. For a person who loves the Lord, the Sabbath is a delight. You want to rest. How many people, your boss says, well, take the day off. They say, oh, no, don't you put that on me. They're glad. I bet you get people on Friday getting out of work, and they got the weekend, and you ask them, would you like to work the weekend? No thanks. How many, in your days of working with people, how many times is on a Friday you've happened upon people who are broken down in tears because they have to wait 2 days, two whole days of the weekend before they can get back to work on Monday? How many times have you run into that? People like to be rested. People like to have a weekend. And if we love the Lord and we're focused upon the Lord, we like time with God. But the Sabbath being served, you know, my hard drive I mentioned earlier failed. They always do at some point. When it works, I don't pay much attention to it. It does its job. But when it doesn't work, I have to put too much attention on it. It becomes a burden until you get things back right in the system. The Sabbath had become a burden. Maybe one of the greatest sins perpetrated by the Pharisees is to make the day given to God a burden instead of a delight. And finally, verse 28, Jesus corrected them with a declaration of his divine authority. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The religious elite kept the people in bondage and judged them based upon their idea of what the Sabbath should be, how the Sabbath should be kept. And they were under the thumb of these people. And Jesus makes a statement, basically is, I don't have to listen to your law. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. I know what it's supposed to be. The people were judged and condemned by the Pharisees, religious elite, because they were doing against what their will was. But Jesus restored it to the benefit to mankind. It was designed to be. In the Lord's day, we have a great day where we can come together and worship the Lord and learn of the Lord. And this should be a delight for people. It should be a delight for all Christians. We should delight in doing this. But it was changed by the Pharisees. Now, there's an application to us. We can view standing with God by works just like they did. We can condemn others based on things that we personally wish. A lot of things I wish people would do. I wish people would do this. I wish people would do this. And if it's our law, we can't push that on anybody else. Some of you wish people would wear more orange. You can't make that a law. Some people wish You wear less orange. You can't make that a law. That's a personal preference. But we can waste the Sabbath by ignoring it or turning it into a burden. Take, for example, candy. Do you like candy? Suppose someone tells you, I just don't like candy. What do you think about them? What is wrong with you? I mean, all candy? You don't like any candy? If at your house you put for your kids or grandkids, you put a big bowl of candy and they came in the house 3 days and didn't touch it, you would say there's something wrong with them and you would talk about maybe getting to the doctor. That's how you'd expect them to eat candy. Well, how about this? You don't love the Lord? If we don't like the Sabbath, if it's a burden to us, the Lord's day, the principle of one day in seven, you don't love the Lord? We're to love the Lord. And it is a joyful thing. And Jesus is here saying, He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He puts it back the way it's meant to be. If we focus upon the Lord on the Lord's day, our burdens will be less because we'll cast them upon Him. Our joy will be more because we will not be worldly. We will be focused upon the Lord. And of course, we walk with the Lord through the week too. Just the one day that we set aside for the Lord, that's without working in the Sabbath law. But this is what the Pharisees could not get. And I think many don't get it today for the very same reason. Their hearts are not after the Lord. So I guess the biggest application for us is we better have hearts for the Lord. Or even the things that are good for us, we twist into something bad. Let's pray. Lord, all your ways are done in truth and righteousness. We thank you for the principle of one day in seven that we're to focus upon you. That is to be our focus all of our lives, but Lord, that we maintain that by not letting the world govern all of our time and command our minds and steal our hearts. And Lord, we know that the religious people are the most antagonistic to the truth of the Bible. And so, Lord, may we know the Bible better and depend upon it. May we reject, Lord, everything outside the Bible that does not conform to what the Scriptures teach. That it be our authority in every way and our love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.